Ever wonder how countries keep track of their finances with everyone else in the world?
It's kind of like a giant puzzle.
Yeah, a giant economic puzzle.
Right.
And today we're going deep into the heart of it, the balance of payments.
You know what I find so fascinating about the balance of payments, or BOP?
What's that?
It always has to equal zero. Every transaction, like buying a car from Germany, or let's say a company in the UK invests in a factory over in China. Every transaction has a corresponding counter entry.
Okay, so it's more than just like a ledger, right?
Definitely.
There's a real balancing act going on here.
Absolutely.
We've got some great excerpts from The Balance of Payments to guide us.
Perfect.
But before we get into the specifics, what's the big picture? Why should we care about this economic puzzle?
Well, think of it like a financial checkup.
Okay.
For a nation.
Got it.
The BOP gives us a snapshot of a country's economic interactions with the rest of the world.
Uh-huh.
Are they spending more than they're earning? Are they attracting investment or relying on debt?
Interesting.
And it helps us answer those crucial questions.
All right, let's break down this checkbook, as you called it.
Okay.
I know the BOP is divided into three main sections. The current account.
Yeah.
The capital account and the financial account.
Precisely. Each section tracks a different type of economic transaction, but they all fit together to tell us the complete story.
So let's start with what seems to be the most talked about section.
All right.
The current account.
Okay.
This tracks the flow of goods and services.
That's right. It's essentially a measure of a country's net income from international trade.
Okay.
So if a country exports more than it imports, it has what's called a current account surplus,
uh-huh.
meaning more money is flowing in than out.
Okay. And so then if it imports more than it exports, which is the case with the UK right now, we call that a current account deficit.
Precisely. And this is where things get interesting. The UK has had a current account deficit every single year since 1984.
Wow. That's quite a streak. But before we jump into what that means for the UK,
okay,
let's zoom in on the current account.
Okay.
What are its key components?
Well, we can break it down into four main parts. Net trade in goods, net trade in services, net primary income, and net secondary income.
Let's start with net trade in goods, since that seems like the most straightforward.
It simply refers to the difference between a country's exports and imports of physical goods.
Okay.
Things like cars, electronics, oil, clothing,
mm-hmm.
basically all the tangible stuff that crosses borders.
So if the UK imports more of these physical goods than it exports,
yeah,
that contributes to its current account deficit.
Exactly. And that's the situation the UK finds itself in at the moment.
Okay.
They have a deficit in goods, meaning it buys more physical goods than the rest of the world than it sells.
Okay, I get that. What about net trade in services?
So that covers things like banking, tourism, transportation, consulting, software development.
Mm.
It's all about the intangible services.
Okay.
Being exchanged across borders.
And this is where the UK shines, right?
Absolutely.
It's known for its strong services sector.
The UK has a surplus in services,
okay,
meaning it earns more from exporting services than it spends on importing them.
Uh-huh.
It's a major strength of the UK economy.
Interesting. So even though there's an overall current account deficit, some parts of it are actually doing pretty well.
Yeah.
What about net primary income?
Okay.
That sounds a bit complex.
So think of it as the income earned from investments abroad.
Mm.
For example, if a UK company owns a factory in another country and receives profits from it, that would be a primary income inflow for the UK.
So it's about UK residents and companies earning money from their investments overseas.
Precisely.
Okay.
It also includes income earned by foreigners from their investments in the UK.
Got it.
Which would be an outflow. The difference between these inflows and outflows is what we call the net primary income.
All right. And finally, we have net secondary income.
Yes.
What falls under that category?
This covers transfers that don't directly involve an exchange of goods or services. Things like foreign aid, remittances sent back home by people working abroad, international pensions.
So these are essentially money transfers between countries.
Yeah.
That are not related to trade or investment.
That's right. While it might seem like a minor detail, it all adds up when you're trying to get the complete picture of a country's economic relationship with the rest of the world.
Okay, so we've covered the four components of the current account.
Yes.
Now let's move on to the next section of the balance of payments.
Okay.
The capital account.
All right. The capital account is typically smaller. than the current account. And it focuses on a different kind of flow.
Uh-huh.
It tracks transfers of non-financial assets.
Okay.
Like land, intellectual property rights, or gifts of capital.
So if a UK company buys land in Spain to build a resort,
yep.
That would be a capital account outflow for the UK.
That's a great example. And conversely, if a Spanish company acquired a patent from a UK firm, that would be an inflow for the UK.
It's interesting how even these seemingly small transactions contribute to the overall balance of payments.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's move on to the final piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
The financial account.
The financial account is where we track investments, loans, and other financial flows between countries.
So this is where we see things like foreign direct investment, portfolio investments in stocks and bonds, and government holdings of foreign currencies.
Right. You got it. It's all about the movement of financial capital across borders. For instance, if a Chinese firm invests in a UK factory, that would be a financial account inflow for the UK.
Okay, so we've got the current account tracking trade,
mm-hmm.
the capital account covering those physical assets,
yeah.
and the financial account dealing with investments and loans.
Right.
But how do these three sections actually balance out?
That's the key, isn't it? Remember that fundamental principle?
Yeah.
The BOP always balances out to zero.
Okay.
So a surplus in one account must be offset by a deficit in another.
So in the UK's case, it's current account deficit, meaning it's spending more on imports than it's earning from exports, must be balanced out by
inflows in either the capital or financial account. For example, if the UK is attracting a lot of foreign investment,
okay.
that would create a surplus in the financial account, offsetting the current account deficit.
Ah, so that's how the pieces fit together. But is it always a good thing to rely on foreign investment to balance out a current account deficit?
Right.
What are the implications of that for the UK? That seems like a topic for our next deep dive.
Picking up where we left off, let's examine this whole idea of the UK living with a deficit.
Oh.
So as we established, the UK has been a net borrower from the rest of the world for quite some time,
uh-huh.
relying on capital and financial inflows to offset its persistent current account deficit.
Yeah, we're talking almost 40 years of deficits since 1984. It kind of makes you wonder, at what point does this constant borrowing become a problem?
That's the crucial question. And as with most things in economics,
uh-huh.
the answer is it depends.
Okay, I was afraid you might say that.
Right.
But seriously, what are the key factors that determine whether a current account deficit is a cause for concern?
Yeah.
Or just a manageable quirk?
So one important factor is the size of the deficit.
Okay.
Relative to the overall economy.
Uh-huh.
Our source material points out that a deficit exceeding 5% of GDP for several consecutive years has historically been associated with increased vulnerability to financial crises.
So like a small deficit might not be a big deal.
Exactly.
But a large and persistent one could be a warning sign.
Yeah.
It's like carrying a manageable credit card balance.
Mm-hmm.
Versus maxing out all your cards and struggling to make the minimum payments.
That's a great analogy. Another factor is the underlying cause of the deficit. Is it driven by excessive consumption and government spending?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it financing productive investments?
Uh-huh.
That will boost future growth.
So a deficit caused by a spending spree is more worrisome than one that's funding, say, infrastructure projects
mm-hmm.
or technological advancements.
Right.
That'll make the economy more competitive in the long run.
Exactly. And of course, investor confidence plays a crucial role.
Right.
As long as foreign investors are willing to lend to the UK and believe in its long-term prospects,
uh-huh.
it can finance its deficit without any major disruptions. But if that confidence starts to waver,
then it could trigger a rapid outflow of capital.
Exactly.
A sharp depreciation of the currency.
Yeah.
And a whole host of economic problems. It sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is. So let's delve into the specifics of the UK's situation.
Okay.
Our source material highlights some interesting data from the first quarter of 2024.
Okay, what are the numbers telling us? Is the UK's deficit getting better or worse?
Well, the overall current account deficit actually narrowed slightly in Q1 2024,
okay,
shrinking by £2.5 billion to £23.8 billion.
Huh?
This was primarily driven by a narrowing trade deficit.
That sounds like a good sign. Does that mean that the UK is starting to export more?
Oh.
And import less?
Not quite. Both imports and exports of goods decreased, but imports fell by a larger amount,
okay,
which led to a smaller trade deficit. It's like spending less money overall,
mm-hmm,
but still spending more than you're earning.
So not out of the woods yet. Yeah. What about the services side? We know that the UK usually excels in services exports.
Yes, and that trend continued. The surplus in services actually expanded,
okay,
indicating the UK's continued strength in areas like finance, tourism, and business services.
So it seems like there's a bit of a rebalancing act happening. Some areas are improving, but others might be cause for concern.
Yeah.
What else is going on beneath the surface?
That brings us to a rather concerning trend, the widening primary income account deficit. This means that despite having substantial investments abroad, UK residents and companies are earning less from those investments,
okay,
relative to what foreigners are earning from their UK holdings.
Hmm. That's not good. Why might that be happening? Is it a sign that UK investments abroad are becoming less profitable?
That's one possibility. It could also reflect an increase in the returns that foreign investors are demanding for holding UK assets.
Right.
Perhaps due to heightened uncertainty about the UK's economic future, it's something that warrants further investigation.
Okay, so we've got this mix of positive,
right,
and negative trends. But let's get back to that big question. Does the UK's persistent current account deficit actually matter?
Well, our sources offer some interesting perspectives.
Okay.
One expert argues that for advanced economies like the UK, current account deficits don't really matter until investors decide they do.
So it's all about perception.
To a large extent, yes. As long as investors have confidence in the UK's ability to repay its debts and believe in its long-term growth potential, okay,
they'll continue to finance the deficit. But if that perception shifts,
it could become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
Investors get spooked.
Yeah.
They pull their money out.
Yep.
The currency plummets.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly the deficit becomes a much bigger problem.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And remember, a current account deficit ultimately means that a country is consuming more,
right,
than it's producing.
Okay.
This isn't necessarily a bad thing in the short run.
Uh-huh.
But over the long term,
it can lead to a buildup of debt.
Right.
Erode a country's financial strength.
Yep.
And make it more vulnerable to economic shocks.
Exactly. So while the UK has managed its deficit relatively well so far, there are certainly risks involved.
Right.
And these risks could be amplified by some structural issues,
uh-huh,
within the UK economy.
Such as? What kind of structural weaknesses should we be paying attention to?
One key issue is the UK's relatively low savings rate.
Okay.
If households and businesses aren't saving enough.
Yeah. The UK has to rely more heavily on foreign capital to finance its investment needs.
Right.
Which can contribute to a larger current account deficit.
So it's not just about attracting foreign investment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also about how effectively the UK is using its own resources.
Absolutely. Another factor is the UK's longstanding productivity challenge.
Right.
If the UK isn't producing goods and services as efficiently as its competitors,
okay,
it'll be harder to boost exports.
Wow.
And reduce its reliance on imports.
So improving productivity is crucial.
Yeah.
For both shrinking the trade deficit and strengthening the UK's overall economic position.
Precisely. But let's not forget that there are also circumstances,
okay,
where a current account deficit might not be such a big deal.
Okay. I'm intrigued because so far it sounded like a deficit is always a bad thing.
Well, there are certainly situations where it's less of a concern.
Okay.
For example, if the deficit is relatively small,
mm-hmm,
and manageable, it might not pose a significant threat to the UK's economic stability, especially if it's being driven by factors that are likely to be temporary.
Like what? Give me an example of a benign deficit scenario.
Imagine a scenario where the UK economy is undergoing a period of rapid growth.
Okay.
This would likely lead to an increase in imports, as businesses and consumers have more money to spend.
Uh-huh.
This could temporarily widen the current account deficit.
Well, as long as that growth is sustainable and translates to higher investment,
yep,
increased productivity in the future, a temporary deficit might not be a cause for alarm.
Exactly. It's like investing in your education or starting a business.
Uh-huh.
You might go into debt in the short term, but if that investment pays off down the road, it was a worthwhile endeavor.
So the key is to look beyond the headline numbers.
Right.
And understand what's driving the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a sign of underlying economic strength? or a symptom of deeper problems.
Precisely. And another factor to consider is whether the deficit is financing investments. That will boost the UK's long-term growth potential.
Right.
For instance, if the UK is importing a lot of capital goods,
okay,
like machinery and equipment,
yeah,
that could signal
that the UK is modernizing its industries.
Exactly.
And making itself more competitive. Mm-hmm. So even though the deficit might be large in the present, those investments could pay off in the future with higher exports.
Right.
Stronger economic growth.
Exactly. It's all about making smart investments.
Right.
That will generate a positive return for the UK economy in the long run.
Okay, so we've explored a range of perspectives on the UK's current account deficit. It seems like there's no easy answer, no black and white assessment.
Yeah.
It's a complex issue with both risks and opportunities.
That's a great way to put it. The UK's situation is a bit of a mixed bag.
Okay.
They have many strengths,
uh-huh,
including a stable political system, a flexible labor market, a strong financial sector,
right,
but they also face challenges, including a low savings rate, a persistent productivity gap, and a reliance on foreign capital that can create vulnerabilities.
So it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
And the UK will need to carefully manage its economic policies,
mm-hmm,
to ensure its current account deficit doesn't spiral out of control.
That's exactly right. And the final part of our deep dive will explore some potential policy solutions.
Okay.
And consider how global events might impact the UK's delicate balance of payments in the years to come.
Okay, so we've unpacked the mechanics of the balance of payments.
Right.
We've taken a deep dive into the UK's current account deficit. It's a complex issue with a lot of moving parts. But what's the bottom line here? What does all of this mean for the UK's economic future?
You know, when you connect this to the bigger picture, it really highlights how interconnected the global economy is.
Right.
You know, a country's economic performance is inextricably linked to its relationships with the rest of the world,
mm-hmm,
and the balance of payments. It acts as a kind of barometer, revealing those pressures and imbalances.
It's a reminder that no country is an island.
Exactly.
We're all in this together, for better or for worse.
Right.
But focusing back on the UK, what can policymakers do to improve its balance of payments position without jeopardizing economic growth? Like, what are some solutions here?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
Right.
It's going to require a multi-pronged approach.
Okay.
But one obvious strategy is to focus on boosting exports.
Okay.
So this could involve policies aimed at making those goods and services more competitive in international markets.
Hasn't the UK traditionally struggled with manufacturing competitiveness? What kind of policies could actually make a difference there?
It's a tough challenge.
Yeah.
But not insurmountable. It might involve investing in research and development to foster innovation, improving infrastructure to reduce transportation costs. You could provide tax incentives,
yeah,
to encourage businesses to export more. And you could also negotiate more favorable trade agreements.
Okay, so it's about creating a more export-friendly environment.
Exactly.
What about the demand side? Is there anything the UK can do to curb its appetite for imports?
Well, that brings us to another important strategy, encouraging higher domestic savings. If households and businesses save a larger portion of their income, it reduces the need to rely on foreign capital to finance investment.
Right. So it's about living within our means,
mm-hmm,
as a nation.
Exactly.
But how do you actually get people to save more?
There are several policy levers,
okay,
that could be considered. You could have tax incentives for retirement savings, make it more attractive for people to save.
Uh-huh.
You could use financial literacy programs to help people make more informed decisions about their finances,
mm-hmm,
and policies that promote wage growth could give households more disposable income to save.
So it's a combination of carrots and sticks.
Right.
Make saving more rewarding and perhaps make excessive consumption a bit less appealing. What about the productivity challenge?
Yeah.
How can the UK address that?
That's crucial. Boosting productivity growth is essential for enhancing competitiveness and reducing reliance on imports. This could involve investing more in education and training, upskill the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You could promote technological advancements, improve efficiency, and creating a more business-friendly regulatory environment can foster innovation and entrepreneurship.
So it's about creating the conditions for long-term sustainable growth.
Exactly.
But let's face it, the UK's balance of payments is also influenced by a whole host of global events beyond its control.
Right.
What are some of those external factors that could impact the UK's economic outlook?
One obvious factor is the global economic environment.
Okay.
If the world economy slows down, demand for UK exports likely declines, potentially widening that trade deficit. The UK is a very open economy, so it's intertwined with its trading partners.
It's a reminder that we live in an interconnected world. What about exchange rates?
Yeah.
How do they factor into all of this?
Exchange rate fluctuations can have a big impact on the balance of payments. A depreciation of the pound sterling makes those exports more competitive price-wise.
Uh-huh.
But it also makes imports more expensive,
oh, okay,
potentially leading to higher inflation.
So policymakers really have to walk a tightrope.
Yeah.
Trying to find the right balance.
Absolutely. It's like navigating a ship through stormy seas.
Yeah.
You constantly have to adjust your course.
Avoid the rocks.
Exactly. And just like a skilled captain, economic policymakers need to be adaptable and proactive, using all the tools they have to steer the economy in the right direction.
So what's the main takeaway for our listeners? What should they be thinking about as they follow the UK's economic journey in the years to come?
The key takeaway is that the balance of payments is a powerful lens through which to view a country's economic health and its place in the global economy.
Right.
The UK's persistent current account deficit raises important questions about its long-term economic trajectory.
Uh-huh.
Can they continue to attract foreign investment? Can it boost its productivity and its competitiveness?
Yeah.
And how will it navigate these challenges of a rapidly changing world?
It's a story that's still being written.
It is.
And understanding those dynamics of the balance of payments gives us the tools to analyze the plot twists and turns.
Absolutely. So as you consume news and analysis about the UK economy, keep an eye on those balance of payments figures. They might just reveal more than you think.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into the balance of payments. We hope you found it insightful and maybe even a little bit thrilling. Until next time, keep exploring the fascinating world of economics.